Welcome to another episode of This Is Silly. This is Mitch, back from the dead. Brad.
I'm here. I'm alive.
You're tired.
I'm tired.
Bird's on the couch.
Evening.
Bird's the man. He makes it. Brad doesn't. I'm going to make fun of Brad for not
hey,
showing up.
Hey, you guys did such a good job last week, and I enjoyed listening to that.
Two weeks ago.
I enjoyed listening to that podcast. I almost stayed home again. I think, you know, I could, you guys can run it
on your
own.
I'm the Cal Ripken of the podcast.
You are. Well, because if you don't show up, nothing gets recorded.
Well, that and the balding hairline. Yeah, but hey, I'll take it. Well, not a lot is going on, though. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. Not a lot. It's not our normal crazy busy news-filled excitement.
No, we don't have one big thing to talk about this week. We've got a lot of little things that people have mentioned that we should probably just address a little bit, but no big, huge, earth-shattering news that we're breaking.
But before you got here, Bird and I were discussing the Sounders game that was on TV last night
mm-hmm.
and the quality of the field. Did you see it?
Yeah. Seattle's field is just a joke.
Again,
I didn't see it, so I'm going off secondhand experience. But I mean, Quidditch.
You know, so, I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't get a break. It's being torn up with football. It's being torn up with soccer.
And then Amazon had their corporate party on the field yesterday,
yeah.
And they played Quidditch on it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Beautiful
yes.
Nugget.
They played Quidditch on it. So
good for them.
The Seekers were unable to find the Klingon. And
the golden sack.
The sacco.
Yeah.
And
the Amazon Prime drone.
So evidently that was the reason that we're being given that it was in such bad shape.
Well, I mean, but to be fair, I watched the preseason Rams game the other day. Yeah, I was really bored. And the
you were
Ram-
drunk, weren't you?
The Ram I was. the Rams field looks awful. I mean,
this
some of those
field
earlier
turf.
Field turfs, I don't know how long it's been. I don't know if the Rams have replaced theirs since they've been there.
I think, well, no, I know they've done it at least once.
Okay, but I mean, they get worn down too. I mean, it's not like this magic set it and forget it, you know, turf.
It's not a Chia turf?
No, and if it's taking the abuse of an NFL team and the abuse of a soccer team, I mean, that's why I worry
about. And a Quidditch team.
And a Quidditch team. You know, I worry about new places like Atlanta that have just been approved that is going to be a dual-purpose stadium. I mean, this is I didn't even have this on my list, but there was the Sepp Blatter quote that MLS was changing their schedule, which we all know. I think Matt said, how do you know Blatter's lying? His lips are moving. But there's a lot of teams that still share, not a lot, but several teams that still share a field. You know, taking that much abuse just isn't going to work. At this point, anyway.
Well, even in Europe, I mean, a lot of lower league teams also share the stadiums with rugby teams and the like. And by November, the fields are like cabbage patches. I mean, it just can't take that amount of abuse,
yeah.
You know, with a rugby team playing on it, a soccer team playing on it, them both practicing on it.
You know what's going to be really interesting is, first of all, I know we had the one UEFA Champions League final that was played on turf. Wherever it was, Ukraine or Russia or whatever. Or maybe it was the Euros. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There was one that they let play on turf.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Then this next summer, the Women's World Cup in Canada, they're going to play it on a lot of turf fields in Canada. And there's already some protests from the top women's players. You know, don't make us your guinea pigs. You know, you wouldn't let the men play on turf, blah, blah, blah. But the next World Cup is in Russia, and we know a lot of their stadiums have turf just because it's impossible to grow grass.
Well,
I was saying,
I got this family staying with me at the moment because my wife's friends, and the guy doesn't like soccer that's mm-hmm. staying with me. He hates it. I mean, he tried to get into it for the first 2 days of the World Cup, and by about the seventh game, he was like pulling his hair out. So just to mess with him, I'm watching every single soccer game in the world.
Good for you.
Because, you know, he wants to watch the Cardinals. I'm like, no, MLS All-Star game, dude, sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, US Under-20s Women's World Cup in Canada's going on. Bink!
Right.
You know, and they're also playing on turf. I
right.
noticed that. So, I mean, they're not guinea pigs. This has happened before. I mean, the Luzhny Stadium in Russia has been turf for ages, and they play World
yeah.
Cup qualifiers on there.
Well, I think that they're saying they're guinea pigs in the sense that you wouldn't let the men's World Cup be played on turf. You know, you'd haul grass in and put it over the turf, and now this is a really big time tournament that they're going to have official matches on turf. But I think it is a test. I think it is a test run for Russia, Qatar, if they get the World Cup. You know, a lot of these places, you just have to have turf. You can't grow grass.
But why is it okay to have MLS as the guinea pig for the magic spray? I mean, someone's
well,
gotta,
no, yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
It's got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
but that's more of an innovation. I mean, the magic spray is more of an innovation. Where this is different. I mean, I think the turf is something significantly different. I really do. Having,
and I think it's improving all the time. I think, you know, maybe, you know, 10 years from now, or it'll be eight years from now.
It's far from Busch Stadium with the carpet on top of concrete.
Right. It's not that. It's getting better. You know, maybe 10 years from now, it won't be an issue. Maybe it'll play just as well as grass. I don't know. But
I mean, a stadium in the tundra up there is going to be frozen with permafrost for 6 months of the year.
Sure. Exactly.
Makes sense. I mean, I was talking to one of the guys at the ambush game on Saturday. He was a St. Louis Hall of Famer. He's one of Matt Williams' friends. And they call him Dino, and I can't remember his name to save my life, but he played over there, and he played at Luton. And Luton had a plastic pitch back in the 80s. Luton, QPR, and Oldham Athletic. I mean, these aren't new things. They've been around.
They've been around, but I guess the issue is...
I mean,
is
I do understand that they are getting better, so a plastic pitch in the 80s is not a plastic pitch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and the original NASL, they'd play a game on those fast
Stadium,
carpets.
Busch
yeah.
Stadium when the Stars
and
played
you'd
there.
See the ball bounce like 60 feet in the air, you know, or it hits and just
skips.
Goes. Yeah.
It skips like on ice.
Right.
And
like skipping a stone on the water. Yeah.
But you know what? If Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer can play tennis on four different surfaces, then...
Yeah.
But I don't think they don't have to worry about somebody slide tackling them from behind on it
well,
either. That's
hey,
the other part.
Bring it closer to home next year.
I don't know. Monica Sella did.
Next year.
What?
St. Louis FC is going to be playing on turf. So
yep.
You know.
Yeah, but
it's a fact of life.
But it's a single purpose, though.
Sure.
And that brings us back to Seattle.
That is a better use of its single purpose, where it's not getting destroyed.
That's where I think you know the dual purpose stadiums to have that. It makes it look so much worse.
It doesn't have 400-pound men rolling around on it, squashing the grass.
Are we talking about us? Or,
yeah, just,
okay.
Yeah, me and you on a Friday, as we do.
But it's, I don't know.
When you see those NFL stadiums, it is right down the middle of the field. You can see it's almost bent.
Yes,
you know
exactly.
And the where the receivers are just skipping along the outsides, it still looks nice and fluffy.
And you could see they tried to do that in the game the other night where there was the circular pattern that they tried to put into it.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think it made it look worse. And then they just finally said, when they got to the corners, they were like, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
It's fine. But yeah, it's going to be interesting next year to watch it on. And again, I don't mind it if it's single purpose, dual purpose. I really hope they start to look at this close.
But also, I mean, the women complaining about the surfaces in Canada, they need to go back and look on YouTube at what the pitches were like at the 1966 World Cup in England.
Yeah.
I mean, they were playing on little hobbled, divoted, nasty swamps.
Mud pits. And that's the other thing. We saw that at the World Cup this year, where some of those Brazil pitches were not in good shape to start with. Uh-huh. And after those first two games, those goal boxes were mush.
Yeah.
So is it better?
Well,
it worse?
And also we can say the women, by and large, are half of the games they're playing in the NWSL right now are on turf. So it's not like...
Fair
they've
enough.
Never played on turf before, so I don't know. It's just something to talk about. It's unfortunately or fortunately a fact of life these days. I mean, that's the way things are going.
If the U.S. win, they won't care. No,
true.
It's true.
No, it's true. Yeah, exactly.
Winning makes you forget all the bullshit.
Yeah, but if they lose on one crazy bounce, they'll blame the turf forever.
Well, yeah. No, they will.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's just the way it goes. Okay, let's get to some of the things we actually planned on talking about.
Kiss my ass.
Okay. First, I want to make an announcement. Mitch and
You're
Bird.
You're pregnant?
You know, Mitch and Bird are ready to pounce on this, but I was approached on Twitter. I don't know. What is that predatory? I don't know. But there's going to be an Arsenal supporters group for St. Louis.
For Christ's sakes.
And they are meeting at Barristers, 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday. All are invited. There's also a Facebook group for St. Louis Arsenal fans, and you can message me on Facebook or Twitter, and I will point you in that direction.
Can you trade in all your former captains that have been sold off shirts?
I wish. God. That's what I decided this year. I was trying to decide whose shirt I'm going to buy. I said, I'm not going to be stupid. I've got a Fabregas Chelsea shirt sitting in my closet. I'll sell it to Greg. But no, so there is going to be a meeting. If you can, head out to Barristers. They're going to talk about coming up with a name and plans to watch the games and stuff like that. And while we're talking about it, I know there's a Liverpool St. Louis group. I know there's a Chelsea. Man United, I think, has a group. Newcastle, just recently I found out about them.
It's not just me and
it's not just Mitch. So if you'd like to contact us on Facebook or Twitter, we can kind of put your information out there if you're looking for other fans of your teams to get together with.
You
want
to hang out with your own kind.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us just go to Amsterdam. I like the fact that when Arsenal's playing United, Matt's there, and I like the banter. I like,
yeah,
you know.
I do too. I mean, I was talking to Andy about this. She was saying that the Arsenal group are trying to get their own little bar. And I mean, I get it to an extent that some of you lot see that the Amsterdam is a Spurs bar.
I don't.
I mean, for all four Spurs fans in town, I mean,
right.
You know.
No, and I get it. I mean, on Facebook and Twitter, they'll make, you know, Spurs jokes, or they'll, you know what I mean? And that's cool. That's all in good fun. But I've never walked in with an Arsenal shirt and felt not wanted.
Exactly.
And
all right, Coach Lasso.
Yeah, and I do agree. I don't go there to hang out with other United fans. I go there to hang out with
that
Greg,
includes Kenny,
Andy.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and it's fun if you're. I mean, if I can give you shit or you can give me shit. I mean, we've talked about it before. America's not like you need.
No, it's not.
You need an Arsenal bar so you have your mates around you,
know,
in case shit goes sideways.
And
I
explain how my father-in-law, he's not big into soccer. He'll watch a bit of it because his two son-in-laws are Brazilian and English.
Right.
So he feels obligated to try and understand it. But he enjoys going to Amsterdam on Saturday mornings because he enjoys the back and forth. Mm-hmm. He enjoys the banter and the chanting and the abuse that goes about. He quite gets into that.
Yeah.
As a victim of said abuse for having a shitball team.
Yeah, and more often than not, you know, honestly, I'll just be in my bed at 6 o'clock in the morning going, I don't want to drive all the way to St. Louis. But when I do, I like to go hang out with my friends,
wherever
they're going to be. But if you want to get more information on this Arsenal supporters group, Barristers, 7:30 p.m. Wednesday night. And if you have a supporters group you want us to know about and let others know about, get a hold of us.
And I'm going to edit out all the references to that. Suckers.
And here's the other thing. We talked to Jeremy a little bit earlier today. Jeremy, the GM of St. Louis Football Club.
STLFC.
STLFC. And he wants to get together with all of these groups. So the new Arsenal group is starting up, the Manchester United group, the Chelsea group, St. Luligans, any other local supporter group for whoever you support. He wants to have a supporters' day at Soccer Park before the season kicks off.
They're going to have a shirt trade-in for Chelsea fans to become City fans?
Yeah, I think that could be facilitated. No, but he wants to get...
Just put Lampard on the back. He'll just cover both bases.
He just wants to get all soccer supporter fans to come out, have a good day at the park. We're talking about making it a charity event where you donate when you walk in. We'll get some beer. We'll get some food trucks. Just kind of get to know some of the other soccer fans. So you don't necessarily have to be a Luligan, but, you know, you can come out with your buddies who are soccer fans and just kind of get to know everybody. So,
and there'll be a lot of crossover. I mean,
well, sure. Yeah.
I mean, I know Jeremy spoke to Matt Hutchison, who's a member of AO. He does the United Red Army group, and
right.
You know, he's come out to a couple of Luligan events. I mean, there's going to be crossover. So, I mean, you don't have to be in one group. You can be a member of
three. No, and when this happens, whenever we arrange it, it'll be open to everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
So maybe you don't know anybody in the St. Louis area. I mean, before I met you, Mitch, you know, me and Bob would get together and watch soccer games, you know, at his house or at my house, but we didn't have quote-unquote soccer fans, you know. Well, then I met Mitch and Brown and a few other guys, and then, you know, gradually you start making connections. So I know there's a lot of people out there that maybe listen to this podcast who don't have the network of soccer friends that we do now, but want to get into it. So a day like that will be key for just new people who want to come out and find more about St. Louis FC, want to find out more about St. Louligans or the Arsenal group or the Manchester United. American Outlaws will be there. Just so a day like that's going to be important. So get in touch with me on Facebook or Twitter, and I'll get you in touch with Jeremy, and we'll coordinate this big party together.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. And that's one of the things I'm proud of our relationship with Jeremy for that reason, is that he's coming up with these ideas of, hey, let's find a reason for everybody to go hang out together and meet each other and just kind of get the community together.
Well, and building up to next season, I mean, there's a lot of time between now and then, so we need events to get together to build these relationships.
You just want to escape your house and your family.
I want to get out of
there. I know how that is. Yeah. Why do you think I was at the ambush game on Saturday night?
Because somebody wanted to watch a Cardinals game at your house?
Yeah.
Next thing I want to bring up is the American Outlaws. We mentioned them earlier. They're having their Border Wars games in Kansas City. It's going to be Kansas chapters of American Outlaws and Missouri chapters of American Outlaws. They're meeting in Kansas City, Kansas next Saturday, and they're basically playing
indoor tournament. I don't know too much about it. I can't go, so I really didn't.
But everyone's invited to go watch. I mean, I think the teams are kind of set now. But if you're a member of American Outlaws or just want to go have a good weekend, I know Ryan and a couple of the other guys aren't playing. They're just going to go and have fun. So
I think they're trying to get tickets because the sporting are playing that night too.
Yeah, I think so they're like going to make a whole weekend.
Day event.
And just sort of a get-together for Kansas and Missouri American Outlaws.
Uh-huh.
So that's coming up this weekend. And I know Andy is in early stages of doing a similar thing with the Illinois chapters, and maybe doing it local to St. Louis, but having a Missouri-Illinois border war kind of thing. So just another great reason to get involved with American Outlaws if you haven't already. My membership was up for renewal this year. They sent me a nice little email. You know, it's another $25.
I think I got mine set to auto-renew.
do that too, yeah. But they're going to, you know, people are like, oh, well, if I don't get the new shirt. No, you get the new shirt every year, you know. Just pony up. It's worth it.
And it's worth it for the shirt alone.
They're starting to come out now with the schedule post-World Cup. I mean, they're
playing... They just announced Ireland in Ireland.
Ireland in Dublin on November the something.
Take a romantic trip with the wife to Ireland. Oh, honey, just so happens there's a United States game while we're here.
Is that your neighbor's
place? Yeah. Such a coincidence.
Yes. Well, it'd be rude if we didn't go support our country.
That's patriotic. And they're playing Czech Republic in Prague in September, and they're talking about in and around the 13th playing in San Antonio against Colombia.
Ooh.
Yes.
That would be a really good one, yeah.
Possibly drivable. Aside from that, the CONCACAF Women's World Cup qualifying is going to be taking place, and they're going to have a couple of games in Kansas City in October. So things are in the pipeline to...
Brad's not allowed to go to those. Sydney's restraining order.
Sydney LaRue's got me on watch.
You're not allowed in the same state as Sydney LaRue.
No,
Brad has to live in Illinois.
Yeah. And we mentioned, you know, earlier I mentioned something about ordering the new Arsenal shirt. Well, with my American Outlaw membership, I get a discount to World Soccer Shop. So that's another reason, whether your kid's in soccer and you're buying them cleats a couple times a year or shorts or shirts or whatever you want to buy, there's another reason to join AO. You get, like, is it a 20%?
It's 10%.
10%.
And I mean, if you buy two shirts, there's $20 right there, and that's basically paid for your AO membership.
Okay. And when you buy your United States jerseys, you can get the AO patch on the sleeves, and that's also a nice little bonus.
You know, so Greg will get $10 off his Chelsea shirt, and he'll get $10 off his Manchester City shirt.
I'm just going to go ahead and order Jack's new shin guards while we're talking.
There you go. So. Do it. Do it up. All right, next thing. Well, you know what? I'm going to go out of order here. Maybe the biggest thing to happen in soccer in the last couple of weeks is the retirement of World Cup all-time scorer
Mitch Maurice.
Miroslav Klose. Right? Do we want to spend some time talking about Miroslav Klose's retirement from international soccer?
We absolutely should.
No, it is, of course, Landy Cakes, Landon Donovan. Before we go into it, I do want to say not everybody in this room has been a huge Landy fanboy, me in particular. But I do want to recognize, without a doubt, the most important player in American soccer at least in this generation, if not ever.
Well, I knew you were going to talk about this today, and I kind of preempted my response. Growing up, from the ages of, I don't know, maybe 10 to the age of 20, the England captain was Brian Robson of Manchester United, and I idolized him. He was my dude. You know, all through my childhood, United were crap, but he was the England captain,
right,
and he
right.
held the team together. And I didn't feel like some of these guys felt when he retired. But before him was Kevin Keegan. Before Kevin Keegan was Alan Ball and Jeff Hurst and Jimmy Greaves. And before them was Stan Matthews and Nat Lofthouse. So I knew that players retire.
Right.
And Landon's the first big name American player to retire.
Yeah, I think
that's
fair.
So they haven't had the culture of players retiring before. I mean, I know that sounds...
I mean, there's been big names, but Landon's really the first marquee name that every day... My mom knows who Landon Donovan is.
And the thing
he
is...
He was the first marketable guy, too. That's the other part, is that he was easy
except
to sell.
For maybe Alexi's hair and beard. I mean, Landon really was... he's the best player and likable. Everybody liked the guy. As far... He wasn't a bad guy on the field. I mean...
Yes, his personality made him an approachable or a appeasable person to the
face. Yeah, and he was market friendly. I mean, he was a spokesman for a lot of brands. I mean, he was Nike's face of soccer.
Except for Germany.
But also, here's another thing, and I'm going to compare it to England. When Robson retired, we had Alan Shearer and Michael Owen coming through.
Right.
You know, and when Alan Shearer and Michael Owen faded away, we had Wayne Rooney and Steven Gerrard coming through. Who's coming through for the U.S.?
Who
of that caliber, who of that world-class caliber that you can see, okay, this is who's going to take my national team forward?
Yeah,
who's coming through? And that's a difficult question.
And not only for the U.S. national team, we also have to think of the face of MLS, too, because Landon Donovan, whether you love the fact that he came back to America or, like me, thought it was kind of taking the easy way out, he did make a name for himself and a name for the league when he came back. I would argue Michael Bradley is that player as far as talent, but he's not a scorer. He's not the. I mean, we saw it in this World Cup. How many people new to the game thought, oh, that Michael Bradley's terrible. What's he doing out there? And we're just like pulling our hair out because you're missing what he's doing, you know. But, yeah, Michael Bradley's not that guy. And I don't know if we know who that guy is. I mean,
well,
Clint
and Deuce is, he's
nearing
the end.
He's knocking on.
Yeah, Clint's basically said he wants to play through 2016. So that he's admitting he may go to the next World Cup in a Brian McBride, you know, role on the bench to be a leader or whatever. But he's not in his prime.
But we've also seen that Klinsmann's not interested in that.
That's true. No, yeah, there's no guarantee that Deuce will be there, right?
I mean, I'm not gonna rag on Landon Donovan for earning $1.4 million to sit on a beach in Malibu. I mean, that's not a bad living.
And we kind of had this conversation when he didn't get selected. Mm-hmm. It's, again, Landon's his own guy. Uh-huh. He may not be the player I want him to be, but he doesn't have to be. He's the player he wants to be.
But in the same vein that you can't knock Landon Donovan for living in California his entire life, you can't then wonder why Mick Diskerud doesn't want to leave his family in Norway.
Right.
You know, I mean, to each their own.
Right, yeah, definitely.
And along the mix line, too, is that most of these guys that are coming up aren't the traditional American born and bred in that respect. I mean,
the player who's everyone's excited about now is Yedlin, and maybe he's moving to Tottenham. But again, a wing back isn't going to be that player.
You want a 30-goalie scorer.
You want either a striker who's pouring them in, or you want a creative midfielder that's scoring and passing. And yeah, I don't know who's gonna take that place for the United States or the MLS, really.
Well, what's his face in Kansas City?
Zusi?
Yeah.
How old is Zusi? Zusi's 27, 28?
That's the thing. Everybody I keep coming up with is knocking on that 30 door.
Yeah, I don't think he's been identified yet. And we know with this game, he could break out of nowhere tomorrow. We could have our next Landon Donovan.
And he could be playing for somebody like Sacramento right now and next year be playing for whoever in MLS.
Right. I mean, but for all his faults, I mean,
and there's plenty,
the things like taking the sabbatical. I mean, he says he needed that to carry on, but I think we all agree that's what cost him the role at the World Cup. But Landon's always done what Landon wants to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to criticize him. I'm not going to say he would have been a better player if he would have stayed in Germany as an 18-year-old kid. Maybe not. Maybe he's as good as he was ever going to be, which is quite good. I mean,
he was a quality player.
Quality player. I mean, respected around the world except in Germany. I mean, Beckenbauer famously said he couldn't believe this guy was a professional soccer player. But
also, that's Frank Beck.
Beckenbauer. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. But, I mean, all credit to Landon. He was a true American hero on the field, even if I thought he disappeared at times. But he showed up. He showed up at times.
But you know what the other thing is, though, too, is that disappearing every once in a while, showing up at times, that embodies this American team over his time here.
Well, and it also...
There were times that they disappeared under Bradley.
I mean,
there was times
we can say that about everybody, though. I mean, yeah. Ronaldinho. I love Ronaldinho. But, I mean, you talked about it, you know, when we were talking about him coming mm-hmm. back to the MLS. Oh, he'll be gone 90% of the time. When he shows up,
well,
it's brilliant.
Do you want to talk about him possibly coming? Because, you know, at Barcelona, he had two good years where he was fantastic, and then he got a little taste for the party life.
Right.
And, you know, he kind of put on some weight, and then he went back to Gremio where he played and realized that he'd missed 10 years of Mardi Gras and Carnival and spent two years partying again in Gremio. And the Brazilian fans booed him off at Gremio, and he had to go and play in Belo Horizonte, where he's knuckled down and got on with his game again. But Belo Horizonte is not Barcelona. It's not Sao Paulo. It's not a party town.
Well, and you went to Milan, he showed flashes of it. Mm-hmm. But
he was still there.
He wasn't always on, you know.
You know, I think New York would be the worst place for him to go.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question.
And I'm not. I know we rag on Columbus a lot.
And now
Columbus would be the best place for him. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, and now we laugh because LA has another DP slot open all of a sudden.
That's the worst place he could end
up. But say what you want about Landon. He didn't let himself party. That wasn't his problem. I think he did work hard, and I think he was dedicated to the teams he was dedicated to. I think we all, you know, we laugh about the sabbatical, or we laugh about him saying he missed his wife and dogs, which is why he missed cheeseburgers. That's why he came home. But he made the right decisions for him. He's had a wonderful career. I mean, even though he's not my favorite player, I mean, I've got a lot of guys who I admit were brilliant players. They mm-hmm. just weren't my favorite players.
Yeah.
And I think Landon's that. He's been great. He's thrilled me. I mean, some of the goals he scored for the United States, amazing. Given me some of the best moments of my life. And I'll miss him. But all players move on.
Yeah, and I'm a little different where I have the, God, he was good. He could have been just that much better. And I think a lot of it is that it is what you just said. It was always about on his terms. It wasn't on what was best for everybody around him. It was about Landon. It was about.
I used to think it was taking
a sabbatical. It was. I'm coming home. It's the DP slot and not getting along with Beckham.
You could
You
could also say his retirement. I mean, maybe it's because he was left out of the World Cup, and because he's only 34.
But I mean,
or 32. He's got a couple more years. He could play and be effective.
The butthurt after missing the World Cup though got a little odious.
Right.
I mean. He's been professional. As you say, he's been professional all his life.
Right.
The butthurt over missing out kind of got rubbed me the wrong way. Because if he feels that he can't compete now at the top level, which is why he's retiring, then Klinsmann's been proved right.
Well, yep. and see, that's the thing.
I don't think he has reached the end of his career.
I think he could play a couple more years. I do too.
I do too.
I don't think his heart's in it.
We kind of proved that at the MLS. Well, take another sabbatical, dude, if your heart's not in it. Miss the game. I quit playing co-ed soccer at Veta because my knee wasn't up to it anymore, and I miss it.
Right.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So, I mean, he's bound to. I mean, he's lived it all his life.
And he's excelled. He's played at a high level. And, you know, I mean, it's cliche, but, you know, I wish one of these elder statesmen of soccer would put their arm around him and say, look, you know, like you said, that's okay. You can come back, but at a certain point, you can't. You know, make sure you're really done. If you're really done, then fine. Walk away with your head held
and
high.
I think
but
that's the thing that's
if he decides 2 years from now, I shouldn't have quit.
It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late, yeah.
And that's the thing that it's I always felt like Landa could leave it if he'd that it wasn't his number one thing in his life.
And I don't think it is. And I mean, we talked about it again when Klinsmann left him off the list. Landon has other things that are more important to him. And maybe we can't understand that because I think if I was that good at soccer, I'd give it everything. But I'm not him, so.
But at the end of the day, to him, it's just a job. I mean, you have
right.
other things
right.
than
exactly
your job.
Right.
And,
and God knows I don't give 100% to my job.
There you go.
I could use a sabbatical right about now.
Yeah, I can.
You want to retire at 34?
Yeah, I would love that.
I can't take a sabbatical and come back to my job.
Right.
And
but I think we're all in agreement. Landon, great player. Servant to his own needs and American soccer. He did a lot for the league. He did a lot for the national team. And he'll be missed.
And he did a lot for this youthful generation that watched him.
Well, and I've noticed on Facebook, a lot of the guys that are 5 to 10 years younger than us,
they're the ones
they
that are
lionize this guy. They love him. And they whenever we say something even a little bit negative about Landon, the hair on the back of their neck stands up. So,
But that was me when Brian Robson retired.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He was their Jordan. He was their, whoever. And that's good.
But that's the problem. He wasn't a Jordan. That's exactly
my
point.
But he was for American soccer, I think.
He was a Larry Bird. He wasn't a Jordan.
No, he had true moments of brilliance.
So did Larry.
No, I know. But, I mean,
Michael Jordan was a god among gods.
But could you imagine?
Landon was
for all the brilliant basketball players that came before Larry Bird. I mean, so the people are used to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar retiring. They're used to
the
progression of.
I think Landon was that first superstar.
That's the point that I agree.
Okay.
I mean, that's.
So he was the face of American soccer. He was the
face
the MLS.
Of modern American
he
soccer.
He was MVP winner. Right now he's got 5 MLS Cups. He could potentially retire with 6 if LA, does the business this year. I mean, he's been everything for the MLS.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
And rightfully so. He's deserved it all.
And now I think
the guys that don't remember him coming home from Leverkusen, because that's really what it is. We were old enough to know, shit, this is our boy.
Yeah.
He's going to take the world by storm. He's going to prove to everybody in Europe that America has something other than goalkeepers to offer the world. And he was 18,
that's
and
true.
He said...
And he was on fire at that time, too.
I didn't get to play. I miss my dog. I miss my girlfriend. I miss cheeseburgers. I'm coming home.
He was a kid, though, as well.
He was. No, he was. But
who is... Wayne Gretzky was a kid.
But we were all like, no, stay. Fight it out, Again, easy for me to tell him
to
stay and fight it out. But the people that know him as an MLS star...
He's perfect.
Right.
I mean,
and he should be. I'm glad they have that memory.
Absolutely.
And like I said, I congratulate him.
And I think we're ready for that next step. That's my big point, is that we've seen the league develop. We always joke about MLS 2.0, MLS 3.0. Landon was MLS 1.5 to 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who's coming through?
We need that MLS 3.0 guy. Who is,
and
we
maybe
thought
some of the Akron generation, some of those guys are exciting.
We thought maybe it was going to be like a Breck Shea or somebody
right.
like that. And,
I mean, maybe it will take, again, some of the American players are coming back now. Landon paved the way for that to happen. He showed you could make a lot of money in this country and still be a great player on the international level. So Deuce is coming back. Bradley's coming back. Maybe a Discarude will come back. Maybe, not back. Maybe
he'll come home.
Jones wants to come home. A lot of these guys are coming back. So maybe we will get, the next star. Beisler and Zusi deciding not to go to Europe when they had the opportunities. So maybe we will get that next great American player.
As you say, though, it needs to be a 30-a-year scorer.
Yeah, it needs to be a goal scorer. It needs to be somebody exciting. I mean, Landon still had that burst of speed when he would pass guys, and you know, the ball at his feet, and he was,
he was lightning, even though
he wasn't one of my best players, he'd make me gasp. And you know, when he made that move, it was a beautiful move. So you know, yeah, we need another one. We need five or six more guys like that.
Brad.
I'm not the right one to talk about Donovan. I mean, I wasn't in his generation that idolized him. Maybe we should get someone to talk about
who lived
and breathed him.
And I kind of joked about it. Like, we'll talk about him, but it's going to be controversial. None of us dislike the guy.
No.
But
I'm disappointed in him. And I'm disappointed in his decisions. But he, even in that disappointment, well, you know what? He still came back and he still kicked ass. So I can't fault him. I can be disappointed,
He's retiring with basically everything you can as far as MLS goes. I mean, championships and MVPs.
He is Lord.
All-time scoring leader. And
he is Lord of the Continental League.
He's had a wonderful national team career. I mean,
He's missing one accolade. That's it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's... But a lot of guys don't get that, so...
Exactly.
I don't know.
Unless you're German.
Unless you're German. All right, let's move on. So all in favor of Landon Donovan, I think we are.
3 months at Everton. The guy's a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, no, he did have a good role at Everton, and I think that
was the team he should have gone to instead of Munich.
Yeah.
3 years prior.
Absolutely.
Munich was a failure, but that glimpse at Everton, while a part of me says, well, he proved he could play at that level, another part of me, it's like, oh, that's just a glimpse of what he could have been if he had stayed.
Fans loved him, though.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a perfect match. I think he loved Everton. Mm-hmm. I think he wanted to go back, but the way things worked out, you know.
I mean, you look at players like Lehigh at Forest, Tim Ream at Bolton, Holden at Bolton. You don't have to go to Bayern Munich to prove yourself,
right.
You know. That's, you know, it is what it is. I mean, there are other players other than Donovan paving the way in Europe
right
now.
We're all waiting for that player to make it to the big teams. Mm-hmm. We thought it might have been Michael Bradley. He tried at Roma. He was close.
And
maybe he could have stayed and fought it out and gone somewhere else. I mean, Dempsey made the move to Tottenham. We thought, okay, we're on our way here. Didn't work out. I mean, there eventually will be an American outfielder that plays for one of the big four in England or, you know.
All right, so I don't think Dempsey will have advised Yedlin to go to Tottenham, no? I mean,
it's a different position. And now it's a different administration.
Well,
and
in a way, too, it's 3 years later, it's a different world in that respect where Tottenham needs.
And Yedlin's what, 20?
Yeah.
Or Yedlin's got some time to...
Tottenham needs those young guys to
Clint was out of time.
Muscle in.
Clint couldn't afford to sit around on the bench for 2 years.
Well, Yedlin's not going to get a work permit in England for a while anyway. So.
Yeah, they're already talking about if he does sign with Tottenham, he'll come back and play for Seattle, and I don't know. But I don't know.
I think Tottenham's a bad team to play for because...
I do, too.
Because you can... No, because sixth isn't good enough.
Yeah, well, that's
but
true.
That's where you're, when you have the sixth biggest payroll, that's where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
But the fans don't put up with that. And
I guess that raises the question then, would you rather play at Tottenham or would you rather play at a team that's further down the table and get guaranteed playing time? You know, I think playing time is the key. If you're not going to be in Champions League, I mean, City can hire whoever they want to sit on their bench, but... You know, if you're a young player wanting to improve, maybe playing time is the key.
So does he go?
Even though Tottenham's a bigger name than Stoke or Sunderland,
but maybe like a West Ham is a good place for that kind of stuff.
West or you brought up Stoke. Cameron's doing really well at Stoke.
Yeah,
right.
And I think it's better to have playing time with a team where if you finish seventh. That's a good season.
Yeah.
Because no one expects you to finish seventh. And you can finish between seventh and 14th, and no one's really going to be too bothered. But if you finish sixth at Tottenham.
Go back to Dempsey at Fulham. I mean, Fulham had some good years in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dempsey could have stayed at Fulham and been a hero. He could have been, I mean, Brian McBride is universally loved at Fulham. He could have been that guy. He wanted to go to the next level. And let's face it, he botched his own move.
Yes.
He started talking about Liverpool and before it was a done deal and ended up a last minute switch to Tottenham because he had to get out of Fulham because he'd burned his bridge there. But maybe he would have been better off staying at Fulham and being now. Who knows if Fulham would have continued on their trajectory or if they'd be down where they are now. Who knows? But, I agree. Sometimes that mid-level team that you're going to get playing time for.
And there's no pressure to get in the top four. Or there's no real pressure to push on.
And a fit. Jose Altidore did not fit with Sunderland.
No.
He wasn't that kind of player. So, important to get playing time and also important to go to a system that you'll excel in. Because... You know, I don't know.
Jose Altidore's getting $40,000 a week. Sunderland was a great place to go.
Well, that's true. That's true. All right, let's move on.
And $40,000 a week goes a whole lot further up in the northern,
yeah,
than it does in London.
We're talking a lot about EPL. EPL kickoff is this weekend.
Woo!
Everybody's excited. I think Matt actually United has the first game at 6:45 a.m.
Playing Swansea, who beat us last year at Old Trafford, along with a whole host of other teams that beat us at Old Trafford.
It's a new era for United, though. You got Louis van Gaal.
I do like him.
It's better to replace the guy that replaced.
Oh yeah.
You never want to be the guy immediately after the big.
There was no upside to following Alex Ferguson.
No, not at all.
Very excited. Enjoyed seeing the preseason tour in the U.S. They gave it handily to Real Madrid. They gave it handily to the Scousers. It was all fun and games.
They put it to Galaxy.
Did they? Well, I was about to say, Bradley, I mean, all these EPL teams come over and kick MLS, but apart from your team.
Yeah, they came and it was 1-0.
It became a bit of a Henry circle.
It was.
Didn't it?
Even
they were trying to give him the goal.
The supporter tifo was a giant Henry jersey, half of it Arsenal, half of it Red Bulls. I mean, it was like even the supporter section for New York were just all happy to be there, you know? I don't know.
I also
heard a lot of stories about fans in New York sold that one Arsenal ticket to pay for their entire season ticket. You know, they got the Arsenal ticket in the group with their season tickets and sold that one ticket for $400 or $500 to wealthy Manhattans that wanted to go see Arsenal play.
I had a couple of friends that actually went to the game. A couple of people from Cleveland and Akron. One of my friends in the middle of Missouri went. And it was a similar thing when the Chelsea City game was on here?
Mm-hmm.
And they gave tickets first shout to the Cardinals season ticket holders.
Right.
Well, that was the case in New York. They gave Red Bull fans first shout.
Right.
So if you're an Arsenal fan who lives in Cleveland, you're scrambling for a ticket.
Right.
And that's where the big bucks came from.
Sure.
Because you weren't a Red Bull season ticket holder. You were knackered, basically, and you had to pay over the odds.
Yeah, because the stadium's only 25,000 maybe at max. So, but, yeah, Arsenal didn't win their preseason. But you know what we did win? First trophy of the season.
No, you didn't.
The community shield. Are you talking about the International Champions Cup? Did you guys win?
No, he didn't win the Emirates Cup.
Oh, no, we did not win the Emirates Cup. We did not. But
you know what? You talk about the season starting next weekend. For me, the community shield is when the season starts. That is the curtain raiser. It's not a friendly.
I didn't even know they played that game because for years, Arsenal has not been a part of that. I thought that was discontinued.
If you'll notice, I'm just sitting here silent, not contributing to this trophy
funny.
Talk.
I actually went to the charity. It was called the Charity Shield back then. It was the mid-90s. I went to see United play Newcastle, and United walloped them 5-0 at Wembley.
Again, this is why I'm just sitting here not contributing.
I'm serious. It was probably one of the best days of my life. Because, well, what happened? Well,
I cannot wait to send that clip to your wife.
And I was in bed at home. It was Sunday morning, and there was a knock on the door, and I opened the door. It was my neighbor, and he's like, "Hey, Matt, I got this ticket at work for the game today, and I can't go. Do you want it?" And this is a charity shield.
Right, right.
It was. So I'm like, yeah. Do you want any money for it? He's like, "No, you're good. Here's the ticket." So I went down. I drove all the way down to London. I got my dad's car. I'm like, "Dad, I'm borrowing the car." He's like, "What for? Charity shield. I'm borrowing your car." So I He gave me 40 quid for gas, and I went down to London on my own with this ticket. And I get in the stadium, and I'm in the Olympic Circle. I'm in the VIP section around the top. It was fantastic. And as I say, it was Cantona. It was Scholes and Beckham and Giggs and Van Nistelrooy, and it was fantastic. And it was Shearer.
Yay.
No, but no, it was the good Newcastle. It was the Ginola, the Philippe Albert. Yeah. That was
when we could make a run for a third.
Who was your goalie? Pavel Cernacek, I think, was his goalie. It was a good Newcastle team. We just hammered him on the day. But the Community Shield, for me, is when the season starts.
Yeah, I'm always kind of disappointed it doesn't actually count as a league game in a way. And just because it means something already, why not have it mean extra something?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but
I mean the
it's the tradition of what it is.
Yeah. FA is so broke paying for Wembley, they have to play the game at Wembley.
The charity they're playing for is themselves.
Yeah. Charity belongs at home. It would be one of those games that you would
lose a home field
to bring on the road. I mean,
yeah,
you know, play it in America, play it in Dubai, play it.
Yeah, no, I think we'd talked about that before. You know, they were talking about
the
39th game. If they did, that's one they could easily take because it's not a home or away game. It's a Wembley game that, I mean, Wembley needs the money, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, that would be nice, too.
Because they're playing the Super Cup in Cardiff, like Sevilla and Real Madrid. They're playing that in Cardiff, and then next year they're playing it in Tbilisi, Georgia. I mean, they've taken that on the road, and I know that the Italian league, Serie A, have played a couple of games for their Italian Super Cup in New York.
But to be fair, their home games are behind closed doors with no fans.
Yeah. You've got to play it behind closed doors or at Giant Stadium.
Right, yeah.
Not much of a choice.
So anyway, EPL kickoff this weekend. We're all excited. We all have our favorite teams, and most of us will be at the Amsterdam for the opening weekend. Matt will be there bright and early.
Bright and breezy.
I will probably wait till the second round of games to come in, even though Arsenal plays at 11,
Do you 10:30 play Sunday?
Game. No, we play Saturday. Okay. Late game Saturday.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, Amsterdam is always there for us, always open bright and early for those EPL games. We will be having, of course, some events with ITAP this year, our partner bar. But for Saturday and Sunday, Amsterdam is the place to go.
And I believe Jeremy has met with the Amsterdam and wants to do an event there as well.
So. Yeah. Yeah, Jeremy's been going around to all the bars. I mean, Barristers, another great place to watch games. Tagine. There's plenty of great places. So, next up. Mitch has created something that people have been asking for a while. Most of our stuff we announce on Facebook and Twitter.
I baked a cake.
Just because it's easy. But people have asked for a newsletter, an email newsletter, and Mitch has pushed buttons and whacked servers and done things.
Thank you for clarifying with servers.
Well, it's magic, you know. I don't know all the ins and outs.
It's tomfoolery.
You push buttons and you plug in wires and... Anyway,
am I, a switchboard operator in the 1950s?
Kind of.
Please hold.
If you go to our website now, you can enter your email address and sign up for a newsletter. Ta-da!
Yep, I'm going to. It's already up there, but I will make it public and with a link off the top for people to sign up. I know we've had a few people, Andy Gephardt particularly, has offered to help work with this, and Matt, of course, is always willing to contribute writings that make himself look better.
I'm working on the newsletter for St. Louis FC, so I can't do it.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah,
but we're gonna use it not only for, you know, just the commonality of what's going on with us. You know, here's where we're gonna be. Here's what's going on. But then we're also gonna be able to do some special things with it too. Some one-off things, some one-on-one interviews with individuals in the group and stuff like that to just give you something else to look forward to.
So, there you go. People that have been asking for it, we have responded. We have heard your pleas, and we are acquiescing.
And we will not sell your personal information.
Nope.
You can sell mine.
Oh. I already sold yours. It's already gone.
Well,
it's
50 cents in your pocket.
When it says,
actually, I ended up owing.
When it says enter your social security number, your credit card, and your credit card ID, that's all normal.
Oh, so that's how you pay for that new Arsenal shit.
Yeah, that's all standard information. Just go ahead and type that in.
Unfortunately, I have to sign a loan with Wonga for mine.
700%.
Next thing up, we've got the Indy road trip coming up. Matt, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. We're going to Indy.
There you go.
In a bus.
We're going in a bus.
We got a bus.
We're going to make it look mean. Put some holes in it.
The links are up there on the event page. We're staying at the Candlewood Suites.
It is August 30th.
August the 30th. It's Labor Day weekend. There's about 10 of us going. 10 Luligans going, and then however many Jeremy's bringing from their side of the fence.
We do still have a few remaining spots. I don't want to promise how many because we're running out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're interested, please contact us, and we'll
try and make it happen. Yep. Also, you can drive yourself.
Yeah, you can drive yourself if you want to ride on the bus. Mm-hmm. There's a few spots left.
And if you can't go and you have questions, ideas, thoughts, feel free to forward them along.
Songs you'd like us to sing on the bus ride.
I think most of them are going to involve beer.
If you'd like to donate beer for the road trip, please contact me.
Absolutely accepting.
That's a fantastic idea.
We are accepting sponsors.
Well, because we are going to be delivering some St. Louis beers to the Indy supporters group.
Yep.
We thought that would be a nice little present to them.
Well, did you see Matt Brown went to the Lucas Oil Center?
Yes, the Urban Chestnut there.
I've already got it. I was like, well,
nice.
We're going to deliver this, and they're going to like, yeah, we've got a big pile of it there, mate.
No, we'll take something different.
Fuck that, I'm still bringing Urban Chestnut.
Well, you can still bring Urban Chestnut. It's
I
good
like
beer.
My Urban Chestnut.
Maybe we should bring some second shift, just in case.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
We're going to Indy. Get a hold of us about that if you're looking for a ride.
I mean, and we're going to go watch them against the New York Cosmos. I mean, it's a storied team, and you know, it's.
And our navy blue Luligan shirts will fit in with the Indy colors too.
Please, if you come in, wear Luligan colors. You know.
I don't know, green might be a little iffy because Cosmos are wearing the green.
Yeah.
So maybe the new dark blue shirt.
And if you haven't bought one.
We have some.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I even ordered a few extras, mediums and larges, because we sold out of those.
You ordered
quickly.
Some extra medium?
I ordered
what
some.
What size is that? Is
some
that
extra, comma, medium and large sizes.
I thought you ordered some extra mediums.
I got some extra mediums. Yeah. So we have plenty of extra large, plenty of double extra large, and we do have a few mediums and larges. So
there you go. Buy one if you haven't.
Buy one. And if you already ordered and you haven't picked it up yet, I still have yours bagged and tagged, separated, so Mitch doesn't sell it to someone else.
And by Mitch, you mean you.
Maybe. So that's something about T-shirts.
And remember, that's how we fund things like TIFOs and buttons and more shirts and
vacation
scarves.
Trips to Based Indianapolis.
The website.
Mitch hasn't paid for that out of his own pocket the last year, but he used to always pay for that out of his own pocket.
And that was not cheap.
No. So these are the things we do. So buy T-shirts.
Or buy us beers.
Or buy us beer.
Or buy a T-shirt and buy us beers.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
I like that idea.
Our old T-shirt has a built-in bottle opener,
which
we can use on the beer. Which I wore that on a little vacation I took with my family. My friends had all these beers, and they're like, "Oh, I didn't bring an opener." I said, "No problem, boys." And I showed them my shirt, and they were in awe.
It's the simple things, isn't it?
It really is.
Were they in awe, or were they recommending intervention?
Little of both. Okay. Little of both. We were just at a little cabin in the woods, so there was no driving to be done, so I just got good and shit hammered.
That sounds very broke.
I'm so proud of you.
And, yeah. And then I heard banjos in the distance, and we made sweet love under the moonlight.
Squeal.
Poor Ethan.
Final thing on my list, I don't know about your guys' lists, but final thing on my list is kits. The team asked...
Model kits.
No, jerseys, uniforms, you know, those things. The team asked this week what we were wanting to look for in jerseys, what we wanted to see in the team's new jerseys when they come out next year. I took it a step further. I just downloaded Nike's latest templates and colored them in with our colors. Some people thought that was a from the team, and they were actually voting on what the new kit would be. That was just for discussion.
Some people
sake.
Were telling the team on Twitter, good job on the template.
Yeah.
Dude, you know that's
yeah,
not them. Right?
No. And, yeah, your vote does not count as an official vote on what the jersey is going to be. I have a feeling they probably already have a good idea of what
absolutely,
their main right. shirt's going to be. Mm-hmm. But maybe they'll look at some of the comments, and I know they did because I've heard from a couple people that work for the team that liked the templates. They liked the fact that, I mean, we had over 100 comments, and, you know, it was a good day of social media.
The sash.
The sash. A lot of people liked the sash. I liked the vertical stripes. I don't know. They were all good. I mean,
there's no wrong answer. I mean, no. We're all going to wear it no matter what. I mean,
I disagree. There's plenty of wrong answers.
A tuxedo is a wrong answer. Yeah. But you know what? There's a group of Spanish lads buying tuxedo kits.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So, oh,
yeah.
That would be so awesome.
So, no, I mean, it was just for discussion purposes, but maybe they will look at, you know, the trends in our decisions to come up with an alternate kit or a third kit. So.
And they're going to be Nike. We know that.
Yeah, it's that's another people. Needs to be Adidas. We don't have any control over that. It's Nike.
They've said that many times over.
Right.
So,
and one guy even said, why blue and green? I thought, well, because that's the color in the logo. Because that decided? Yes, that is official. So some people are coming to the party late. But
from what I've heard, it's going to be more blue than green. That's what I've heard.
That's the general impression I get. That the green is an accent color to Navy.
Which I think that's good. I mean, again, Cardinals have blue in their road caps. The Blues, the Rams, blue.
Yeah. So we'll see. And again, you know, soccer, sometimes the away kit is out of left field. It has nothing to do with the main colors, too. So who knows what we're going to end up
well,
with.
Well, it's going to be white.
In America, it usually
well,
is.
Well, I
yeah.
think it's a league stipulation
yeah.
that they have the home shirt and the away shirt is white.
Yeah.
So
I think. But maybe there'll be a special U.S. Open Cup kit.
Oh.
Well, and Jeremy also did say they were going to do things like a breast cancer night, so maybe they'll have a pink shirt for that night or you know, the military
camouflage,
you know, where they auction the jerseys after
maybe
the game.
Maybe do a throwback night, have like the old Stars kits.
I was thinking AC St. Louis.
Too soon.
Yeah, but yeah, they might have other kits that they bring out, and so, but that was just for fun. So people who got excited and thought they were seeing a glimpse into which.
I bet they're not far off. You know,
no, I mean,
honest,
yeah, they're
what?
Basic Nike templates. And
Nike's not, I mean, that's one nice thing is Nike is fairly predictable in that thing. As soon as we see when they do their yearly changeover where it's, okay, these are the kits for the next year.
Right.
All right, you know it's going to be one of those. They don't
yeah.
stray. They don't, like the one year that everybody had the total 90 and
right.
Arsenal had total 90
right.
and Holland had total 90. Everybody
There's some
had.
Variations in the colors, but it's basically that jersey.
Right.
And let's not kid ourselves. A USL Pro team, third division, does not rate a custom
yes.
jersey template just for them.
Yes.
So we're not going to get the world reinvented just for us, you know.
Not yet.
No.
Someday.
So, yes.
Someday.
So that's all I wanted to say. Anything else on the list?
Jeremy did bring up some other things when we chatted with him earlier.
Okay.
Said the ticket system's coming soon. So... Closer, closer, closer.
If you have not put in your deposit, please put in your deposit.
Soon, because now they're going to be looking at what they need to do to transfer those deposits into tickets and sell some tickets.
You're going
to
be looking at the doo-doo?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You said
doo-doo. Doo-doo Brown.
But yeah, and then once your deposit's in, whenever they unleash this new system, they will say, where do you want your ticket to be? And at that point, you can select...
Section 8
or the Luligan supporter section or however they're going to word it on the website.
Speaking of seats, they're starting to change out the seats in the highfalutin seats.
Yes.
So they're going to be looking at getting that. So these are all things where it's just a step closer. And as much as we think it's forever and a day away, it's already August. And, you know, we heard about this, 3 months ago?
Yes.
And now it's already August.
It's coming rapidly. Yes.
You know, pretty soon it's going to be Christmas, and you'll have to worry about doing your Christmas shopping.
One more thing in regards to the seats and the changes they're making at Soccer Park. Todd asked about, Matt, you were there the other night
okay.
for the ambush adrenaline
yeah.
friendly. The I saw the pictures. The team sat under these big plexiglass domes.
Yes.
And Todd was there at the game, and he said they really blocked the view.
They are going to remove, and I spoke to Jeremy, they are moving them into the bleachers.
Right.
Yes.
So that the team will basically sit under the bleachers.
Right. So those will be gone. The sight lines will be perfect. They're getting rid of those big plexiglass semi-domes, whatever you call
bus
those.
Bus stops.
Yeah, and they're moving the seats the right in basically the first row of stands.
I would like them to have those flip-up seats like you get at normal stadiums now instead of the bleachers, because the kids running around up and down the bleachers, you know, stop and watch the game.
He is a parent.
Are you going to tell this story, Mitch, or should I, about the bleachers at soccer park?
Go ahead. This is a good one. This is one of the funniest stories.
At AC St. Louis, before the season started.
It was a preseason game against Kansas City.
Against the Wizards. They brought the Wizards in. And, you know, and the crowds, it wasn't full. And we were sitting from the pictures you took, about where you were sitting.
Okay.
And, but it was kind of empty over there. I mean, we had room. And one of our friends, his kid was running up and down the bleachers. Just kept running up and down the bleachers. And this was when my kids were little and Jack's kids or Mitch's kids were even littler. So we're watching this kid, a nervous wreck, like, this kid's going to eat shit, you know?
He's going to bite it.
And
it's going
to
be ugly.
The dad was not paying attention. Uh-huh. The dad was talking to other people. And
his oblivious to his child.
Kid ate shit. Just wiped out and head donged off those metal bleachers a couple times. And
you hear the bong radiate through
the Mitch stadium. And I both instinctively, like, grabbed for the kid. I think it was his uncle or somebody was there,
uncle.
Actually picked the kid up. And, I mean, kid's crying, and, you know, uncle's holding him, trying to count. And then we're like, turn around, and the dad's, like, still talking. We're like, and your kid just ate shit. And he goes, well, I guess he'll learn not to do that today. But it's going to happen, isn't it? Yeah.
Now, mind you, 5 minutes later, that same kid was back up and beating the shit out of his older brother.
Yeah, it was funny. But
it was.
But yeah, kids are going to wipe out on the bleachers at soccer park. And Ryan O'Kane will, too.
He'll never live it down.
But
that's part of
it. I know they are putting seat backs into the fancy area.
Mm-hmm. The premium area.
I think for right now, the plan is still to leave the bleachers over to the sides. So
okay.
We'll see how it goes.
Well, I don't think we're going to have to worry about kids and stuff. We're going to be stuck anyway. So.
Something I do want to bring up. I don't know if I even told you guys this story.
Oh, he's special.
I was contacted at the Luligan page by a gentleman who said he's really excited about the upcoming season. Really big soccer fan. Looking forward to coming out and seeing some live soccer. But he's in a wheelchair and wanted to know, can we make this happen where he can sit in the supporter section?
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
I said, I'm pretty sure we can make that happen. So contacted Jeremy. We're going to do something. Hell or high water.
Okay.
This guy is going to be in the supporter section with us. Even if a couple of us have to carry the chair up, you know, four or five steps into the bleachers, they're going to build like a little platform where hopefully we can lock his wheels and he doesn't become the flaming Vespa of soccer park. So if you are in a wheelchair, we are wheelchair friendly. We're going to have an area in the supporter section. There are also areas in the stadium that are designated wheelchair areas, but this guy said, no, I don't want to sit in the wheelchair area. I want to sit with the supporters. I want to make some noise. So we're making that happen. So if there's anybody else out there in a similar situation, let us know.
I mean, and we make jokes and that we're drunk assholes and all that kind of stuff. But really, if you're there to have fun, we don't care who you are.
Yeah.
We don't care your background. We don't care your proclivities. We don't care your handicaps. I mean, for Christ's sakes, we even welcome Chelsea fans. So that shows that we accept people with mental handicaps.
I mean, it goes back to the article I wrote this week. I mean, just come.
Yeah.
Just end the story.
My point was, I mean, Jeremy immediately, I said, yep, no problem. Wait a minute. Let me talk to the boss. Jeremy said, yep, no problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to make whatever we need to make happen. So if that's a reason.
I've got an awesome set of tools. I can build it.
Exactly. If that's a reason that you maybe weren't as comfortable, we're going to make it happen. So just let us know and we'll make arrangements for almost anybody. Almost anybody.
There was a League Cup semi-final game at Old Trafford in 1992. It was the semi-final of the League Cup, and it was against Middlesbrough. and the atmosphere was absolutely rocking. Because United was second in the league behind Leeds at the time, and Leeds were also playing the same night against QPR in the league, and they were getting hammered 4-0. So that we had the score on the scoreboard of the Leeds game, and we were playing Middlesbrough in the cup semi-final. We were winning and going to Wembley. And I remember I was looking down the Stretford End, and there's a guy throwing a crutch up in the air. I mean, everyone's chanting, there's a crutch up in the air. And then I look about, I mean, I would be 40 or 50 foot away, there's the other crutch in the air. I'm like, how's this guy getting home? I mean, there's a guy with a broken leg, and he's going to have to just hobble home.
Yep.
But
and he'll hobble home happy.
That's but right. You know what? If a guy with a broken leg can get in the Stretford End at Manchester, we can figure out a wheelchair.
Definitely.
And soccer.
You know, every time he says that, I keep thinking he's saying Stratford Inn, the hotel across the highway.
Well, and if we have a bad night at soccer park, we may end up at the Stratford Inn.
Don't give Ed Woodward any thoughts. He'll probably look for them sponsorship.
Oh, man.
One last thing I'd like to bring up.
Yes.
And somebody had said this to us earlier, and there's a little rumor going around that USL Pro is not done expanding.
Yeah, well, we've addressed some of those rumors before, but they may even be bigger than what we thought.
Yeah, I mean,
we know there's a couple more for sure coming, but
and there's I can't remember where I read it today. I want to say it was on Reddit, but I'm not. I mean, every day is a blur at this point in time.
Sure,
alcoholism does that to you. But it sounds like more and more of the teams are just going to field their own flat out. They're not even going to try to bother partnering up at this point in time because they're seeing Los Dos. This still the
makes
best
me
name.
Laugh every time.
I know.
Yeah.
But what was going to be like a 14-15 team league could be in the mid-20s next year.
Yeah, I think we're looking at least 20. I think I counted we were 17 if you counted us, but there's definitely going to be at least 20 then, because we know of at least 3 MLS teams that have pretty publicly stated they are going to have their own second division team. So anything more than that, yeah, we're pushing into the low 20s, mid-20s.
That's a hell of a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
And hella competitive, too.
And it also makes me excited to see what the format's going to be. I mean, you know, with that many teams, you can't have a 50-game season, so should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot. So as soon as we hear more about that, we're going to pass it along.
Well, what excites me, though, also, is the fact that aside your Los Dos and your Sacramento and maybe your Portland, too, St. Louis is probably the most attractive place to come play. Where would you rather play, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or here?
No, I think so.
We are a sports team. Well, and
Jeremy also, they went out to Portland for the All-Star game. They were there for the big, you know, he loved it.
He said it's the real deal.
Yep. He said you should go out and check out a game there, which I'd love to.
I'd rather check out a game in St. Louis.
Yeah. And they had their little USL meeting, mm-hmm. you know, kind of talking about where things are right now. And
did Jeremy march to the stadium?
I don't know if he did. I think he did. I think I saw
pictures. Because he sent us a picture of the stormtrooper guy.
I only said that with sarcasm. I didn't expect you to say yes.
I think he did.
Oh, okay.
I think he went to one of the fine little local brew pubs down there, which, you know, he saw, oh, everybody's going to the game. I guess I'll go. So maybe he didn't intend to march, but he ended up.
You're marching. You're going from a pub you were drinking at anyway to a ground you were going
right,
to anyway.
Right. Yeah. But he said that the USL Pro meetings, the other teams were aware of the St. Louligans and that their supporters are looking forward to coming down and having some fun with us, hoping we go to them. The Austin Aztecs team, in fact, said, we really need to figure out a way to get beer in the stadium so the St. Louligans will come. So our reputation precedes us.
But it's also good that they want us, too. It's
No, again, this is another, I wrote it in an article a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, a friendly rivalries when we get together. I mean, like we're going, even though we're not opposing the Indianapolis group, we're going to go, we're going to mingle, we're going to have a good time with them before the game. And
we might see them in a USL Open or a US Open Cup.
Exactly. And if a supporter makes the trip to St. Louis from, you know, be it Austin, Texas or Oklahoma or Louisville or wherever.
Come hang out.
We're going to have beers before the game. Then we can jaw at each other during the game. And then after the game, we can have a few more beers. So I think you know, everybody's pretty good that way.
I just hope that there's a few more closer Midwestern teams in this continuing talk.
That gives me, a little hope that maybe there will be some good road trips.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, Louisville's already a good trip. Austin's kind of a hike, but that's, you know, okay, well, maybe, you know.
Depends if
if we can get a good Amtrak deal.
Yeah.
I know Jeremy's talking about going to one game per week, but, you know, if you can play Tulsa and Oklahoma like on a Wednesday and a Friday or a Wednesday and a Saturday. I mean, try and make a week of
Yeah, if you can work out a little mini road trip swing, that would be nice too, yeah.
But, I mean, with this size league, it may just be, they may skip a lot of that growing that you have to go through with weeknight games. They may just go to game a week.
Yeah, we'll have to wait till all is said and done. Awesome. The dust settles and the format comes out.
Yes, that's exactly it. It is going to be a proper season.
So, looking forward to it.
One last thing. Last time you were here, you had a question from a guy that said, you know, penalties are a sucky way to end a game. Is there another way we can... Something I heard on the radio, this guy wrote rang in TalkSport, and he said, you know what? Have the penalty shootout before the game. So in extra time, if you've lost the penalty shootout, you have to go for it.
I mean, that's kind of something.
I really like that.
I know, right? And it's Holy so simple. Shit. Have the penalty shootout before the game.
And that's kind of funny, yeah.
I love that idea. Oh, my God.
It's not my idea. I just heard it. I just thought, you know what? That is a
great answer. We're good with the draw. We already won the penalty shootout.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, maybe they start parking the bus.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's true.
But
yeah.
Also, there's not the pressure to miss. If you miss a penalty shot and you lose the penalty shootout at the beginning of the game, you have time to make it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you can still go win the game 4-0.
Well, and it's not when your legs are completely dead and, you know, you're dehydrated out there, been cramping up for the last 20 minutes trying to take a penalty shot. It's different.
You know, if you lose the penalty shootout, that's not the reason you lost the game. It's the reason because you drew after 120 still. So that was something I heard. I thought, you know what, that's a good answer to the question.
Yeah.
I think they should shoot.
Let's do that.
Free throws. Just basketball free throws.
That'd be good, too.
Bring in other sports. Yeah. They have to shoot a puck the length of the field into a small box.
No, put a trash can
in
the middle.
You don't tell them what the sport is until after the game. So
it's a big wheel. You spin a big wheel.
Oh, my God, we've got archery. Who can aim the straightest, guys?
Little did they know, David Beckham was junior archery champion summer camp.
So that goes back. That must have happened at Amazon. This week, you know, they spun the wheel. It's Quidditch.
Quidditch.
Company retreat game.
Maybe they play Quidditch. Maybe that's the shootout.
You never know.
Start getting into made up sports. Basketball. I think they all work.
Shots. it just brings up shots, and they.
Oh man, that could be a great. Last team standing. Here's the drinks. Yeah. We're bringing in the drinks.
Do like a beer fest.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, they do the series of beer Olympic games.
Das Boot.
Yeah. Oh, if only life were that simple and we could solve all the world's problems.
God, penalty shootout before the game. You heard it here.
Yep. I like it.
Come on, FIFA.
Shots, then the penalty shootout, and then play a full 90.
And then if it's still tied, archery.
Yep. I think we've solved
it. With Nerf guns.
Anything else we got, boys?
No, I think we actually covered it. I know we working on our special guest coming up here soon, so.
Yes, we will have a special guest hopefully in 2 weeks' time.
That would be fantastic.
And until then, please.
Sign up for the newsletter.
Sign up for the newsletter. Contact us on Facebook and Twitter. Share the podcast with a friend. Rate and review us on iTunes. And buy Matt beer.
Absolutely.
So,
I will be at the Amsterdam 6:30 or so on Saturday for the first game of the season.
I plan on being there a little bit later with the navy blue T-shirts.
And Mitch in tow.
And Mitch is coming with me.
And don't be shy. I mean, I'm on Facebook. We're all on Facebook. I'll check my other folder. Send me a message. I'll be happy to you know, watch a game with you.
Yeah, we're not like celebrities who are too good for our fans. We like to.
No, actually, I really have
Matt's
no
working
friends.
On getting
I,
that.
I need people to come watch games with me because I literally have no friends.
Yes. So, yep. Give us a shout.
We'll see you guys Saturday, though, at the Amsterdam. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun out there. I know hope springs eternal. The season's kicking off.
I mean, yeah, you've not been jaded by.
Even Spurs fans think they have a chance, so come on out.
I'm going to go on a record and saying I don't.
Mitch has already conceded that he is not going to Champions League football next year.
Eighth place looks
you
really
and me both,
good.
Brother.
Hey, I'm an Arsenal fan, and for the first time in a long time, I have hope we could finish as high as third.
Easy now.
Well, I didn't say we would. Just we could finish.
He has hope.
I think it's going to be the same top three. No, I don't. I think it's going to be Chelsea, City, Arsenal, and then either United or Liverpool with a little outside chance of maybe Everton or Spurs. But I think that's your top.
I think you have
You've
to say City.
You've got five chasing four spots.
I think, yeah, you have to say City and Chelsea are our favorites.
It's money thing now.
Well, and it's a depth thing. I mean, they could start either one of those
money.
Well, yeah, but either one of those teams could start a second team with their second string and be competing for the Champions League.
That's
ridiculous. I mean, so yeah, Arsenal. As much as I love them, and they have spent more money the last couple years than they've spent in a long time, don't have the depth that those guys do coming down the stretch. And I have a feeling United will get back in it this year. I think United will take that fourth spot.
I'd be happy with it. I'd be happy with fourth. Hey, did the you got to play in the qualifying round, right? The last qualifying? Did the draw get major? I know.
Yeah, we drew Besiktas. That's all I know. Okay. I don't know about any of the other draws. I know we can talk about our friend Celtic, who lost both legs of their play-in and due to a player getting disqualified, now have been advanced.
I can't believe they've let that fly, that they just let Celtic get through.
Well, and Warsaw has basically come out and said, you know this is bullshit, be a man, let's at least have a playoff, one game.
Well, that was the precedent was set when Leeds played VfB Stuttgart in the 90s in the Champions League. Stuttgart brought on a sub who should have been suspended.
Let's be fair. This was 3 minutes left in the game. Uh-huh. They brought this guy on. It's not like they brought an ineligible player on who
early
scored
on
three goals. Right. Yeah, this was 3 minutes in the last game.
The precedent was set. Stuttgart played an ineligible player but won the tie. And UEFA said, no, we'll play it again. We'll play at the Nou Camp, a neutral venue, winner take all, play one game, and let the chips fall. And I can't believe that they've, having set the precedent, they've just said Celtic can go through.
And Warsaw called them out with that open letter. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
They posted an open letter basically saying, you know, the great hallowed Celtic teams of the past would be ashamed of you. You know, this is not the Celtic, you know, honorable thing to do. It was, I mean, a brilliant piece of marketing, mm-hmm. you know, if nothing else, just to make Celtic look bad. But
well, Legia have got some history too. I don't want to be Greg and turn everything into United, but
You've done a good job already.
But I remember United playing Legia in a semi final of the Cup Winners' Cup. I mean, they've got European tradition,
yeah.
And it's been a long time since a Polish team have played in the Champions League. And
I'd like to pull Tony Glavin aside and see what he thinks of this.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm sure he'd say, nope, Celtic are going through. I'm happy about that. No, he might not. He's old school.
Maybe if it was close. Maybe if they've only lost 2-1 on aggregate.
This
you could
game
say,
wasn't close. It,
no,
I think it was 6-1
it was,
on aggregate or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was not pretty.
And when they put the ineligible player in, the game was well and done. I mean, both legs handled
them. But again, I mean, you're a professional football team. Why are you making that mistake?
That's my thing with it. It's like
I mean, it was like when Arsenal took Ryu Miyuichi to Munich, and then they realized he wasn't on the roster. That's an elemental thing.
It's like showing up for your first game in an ASL and not having your player cards.
Did you ever hear that story?
No,
word?
That's why.
The very first game of AC St. Louis, I forget where they were playing. It was an away game, but they showed up to the game, and one of the players didn't have his player card, and we started with 10 men and played with 10 men while they sent an equipment manager back to the hotel to scrounge and search, and they finally found his card and came back, and it was like the 10th or
15th minute
that we finally put our 11th man on the field.
There was a there was a story out of England. A local Manchester amateur team is called Altrincham, and they're a pretty high standard of semi-professional football, and they saw a guy playing in a park game, and he was brilliant, he was fantastic, and they signed him up, like, you're fantastic,
right,
you know, and they're like, we signed him up, and he was brilliant, and about halfway through the season, it transpired somehow that this player had previously played in the Icelandic league, and the Icelandic FA still had his rights.
Yeah.
Registration. They still had his registration, and the FA had no idea of this.
Right.
And the FA stripped Altrincham of all the points that they had won while
he was
in the team.
Man.
Oh, that's awful.
And they went down, and it was awful. But I mean, you've got to know your onions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, you don't sign a kid just because he was a trialist at Liverpool. Or at Tottenham. Tottenham, sorry. Oh, stories we can tell about the old days.
One of these days, maybe in a year or two, we'll get a whole bunch of these people like Jeremy and Hubert and
do some stories of AC Past.
Yeah, yeah. Once STLFC's been around for more than a year.
A list of things we never want to do again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I think that's all we have time for today.
That's all we've got for today.
That's all we've got.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're all spent.
But hopefully we'll be hearing more news as we move along. So as always, watch us on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the new newsletter. And
buy us beer.
Thanks for listening.
Au revoir. Hey.